The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hi, this is Sam Smith.
Oh, that's right. You knew that.
Anyway, it's my weekly podcast, and sorry for the delay if you were looking for it on Wednesday. I wasn't there, given the fact that Wednesday ended the regular season. So we here at Bulls.com thought, hey, we'll just wait until after Wednesday. Huh? How about that forward thinking? Now we took, I think, 6 hours of various staff meetings. So anyway. But it's going to be the Bulls and Nets, as apparently the Atlanta Hawks threw their last two games. I don't know if anyone's looking into that, but I did. I thought I saw Sasha Volkov and Drobniak on the court toward the end of their game with the Knicks the other day, when Wednesday, when it appeared they were getting close. Now, I've railed on this before, and I'm not happy about it, the fact that virtually every team in the league for the last couple of weeks has been pretending their star players have been hurt. It'll be interesting to see who is not playing 40 minutes when the playoffs start. But this is an issue for the commissioner, and I'm sure he'll be on it very soon. Anyway, so the Bulls, and I think what Atlanta obviously was up to, even though they're fairly delusional, is they seem to believe that if they get in the opposite bracket from Miami, they have a chance to be in the conference finals. And if they do, the East is way worse than we thought it was. So we don't think it's going to be quite that bad. But you know, they believe a lot of things in Atlanta, like traffic moves swiftly. In any case, we'll start with the Bulls. I'm going to be playing the Nets, Brooklyn Nets. That's a return home for me, which everyone seems to think it's more interesting for a return home for Taj Gibson. Taj has actually lived on the other side of Brooklyn. For me, although both sides were fairly poor. And he lives right, he grew up right in Fort Greene, which is right off the Manhattan Bridge. And Joe, who born in France, but lived in most of his young life in what they call Hell's Kitchen. I was more kind of like in South Brooklyn, which is Heck's Kitchen. It was actually Heck's living room. But anyway, I'll get into that later on. But Joe went to high school in Brooklyn. I think one of his three or four, as he moved around and caused various issues in his young life, as you could imagine. He's had an interesting homecoming for them. You know, 4-5 is supposed to be, and should be, the most competitive series, because those are two teams that are usually most closely matched. Even though the East is fairly wide open after Miami, but the Bulls had a 3-1, won three of the four games with the Nets, which. I hate when everybody says, well, the regular season didn't mean it. It did mean something. I mean, the regular season always means something. Certainly meant a lot of my time spent watching games, but we don't want to dismiss that. The Bulls won three of the four, but in three of those four, they were decided by 4 points or less. That last one in Brooklyn, beginning of April, I think it was, Nets were leading by 16. They were up like 15 in the first couple of minutes. As I remember, the Bulls missed like 9 out of the first 10 shots. And Nets end up doing a couple of bad plays right at the end. The Brook Lopez, Nazi Muhammad, of all guys, blocks one of Lopez's shots. And then to tie the game at the end, they went to Lopez for a baseline shot, which I didn't completely get at all. So they lost that one. The Bulls had huge numbers of guys out all against that. They never had a full team. They had most guys out. The game the Nets won, the early February game, Boozer was out, and he didn't miss many games. Noah had just started with his plantar fasciitis back then. I think there were 5 or 6 regulars out in that game, and Jimmy Butler made a really impressive steal right at the end, got it to Ding for a layup. And the Bulls got within 2 within like 15 or 18 seconds left. So even as many guys down as there were, and the only game that was a double digit was back in Chicago in early March. and the Bulls kind of control, even though the Nets took an early lead, double-digit lead. And I think they had double-digit leads in the first half of every one of those games. So they are a dangerous team. And you know, when it was coming down the end of the season and who you were going to play and everything, I mean, even though Indiana is considered a better team than the Nets, and they're a tougher team, got a lot of talk this season about, you know, potentially challenging Miami. I actually thought in some respects Indiana was a better matchup for the Bulls. New Jersey's been playing, Brooklyn, I'll get that right, and not flying to Newark this time. Brooklyn's been playing as good as anybody, won 6 of the last 7 coming into the playoffs, even with sitting some guys at times, scored over 100 points in 8 of their last 10 games. Darren Williams, who, as anyone knows, I get on quite a bit, has really been playing well, averaging almost 24 points since the All-Star break. You just hate that a guy who's kind of a bad actor like that has so much talent. It's not fair. But anyway, and so, you know, the interesting dichotomy with that team is they have, you know, 3 really dangerous scorers. Brook Lopez made the All-Star team. Joe Johnson, who was their, you know, the number one go-to guy for the Hawks in the previous years until the trade to Brooklyn last year. And Darren, but they all are kind of individual players, even though Darren's a point guard. And actually, I think I'm going to call him Duran because I know it really makes him mad. He doesn't like that for whatever reason. So I'm going to start calling him Duran, I guess. But back in New York, or back in Brooklyn, you know, we never even knew we had accents until we left. It's kind of, you know, so anyway, I'll find that out too. So it'll be incumbent on the Bulls' defense to really help out. And you can help against that kind of team because they tend not to move the ball that well. And that's, you know, really a weakness of them, a flaw. The interesting thing with the Bulls is going to be the health. They're probably, as far as attendance, as healthy as they've been all season, because basically everybody's playing except Derrick Rose, who did, as it turned out, miss the regular season. I can report that officially now. But I am among those who am not completely dismissing that he won't play again. Now, I've said from the beginning, I was never saying he'd be back after the All-Star game. I never said, I was never giving this projection in March. And in fact, several months ago, back in December and January, in my Ask Sam column, I was saying it's 50-50 he plays this season. So I always felt from early on, and the things you were hearing around him and his the doctors and his team, as it were, despite those commercials that Adidas did, that it was always a 50-50 chance because of the 8 to 12-month period that Dr. Cole had originally outlined. And 12 months getting to late May, which is when he had surgery, I think May 19th or 21st or something. So he's still under the 12-month period. And that was just for limited playing time. So, and you know, and hearing some friends of his, you know, people, you know, close to him talking lately, he's still not comfortable and hasn't been moving side to side that great, even though we see him shooting and occasionally dunking. The Bulls have not basically scrimmaged for months. And when they have scrimmaged, it's been Marcus Teague and Radmanovic in there because Deng and Noah and Gibson, with all their injuries, basically never practice. Derek also really wasn't going to get, you know, any 5-on-5 scrimmage time with the team, and playing in the game is obviously different. So that said, we don't expect him to play, but yet I still think it, I'm not dismissing it completely. The more interesting, you know, the more pertinent is Noah, who's had his plantar fasciitis, which actually bubbled up for the first time when they were playing the Nets back in February. And then that was sort of a surprise. He went out that game unexpectedly, or at least to the rest of us, since Tom is not great with sharing this information, for the belief that the other team might not be able to come up with another play if they realize Noah's out. So, but he's been, you know, brought back in slowly. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays off the bench, at least to start the playoffs, along with Gibson, who looks a little, you know, better, a little stronger. Noah's, you know, seems a little tentative. He's running the court okay, but he's not trying to do too much. Played about 14 minutes in the last couple of games. Was scoreless against Washington, but really wasn't looking, you know, looking to do much. Just took one shot, which is a far cry from where he was, you know, earlier on. I think in the Nets game back earlier in the season, came after he had that triple-double against the Sixers with the 11 blocks. and I think it was had a 21-11 game again. So that's big. So, you know, playing, you know, lately, you know, Bulls have been going a lot with his lineup with Boozer. Even had Jimmy Butler jump center against the Heat the other day. But I suspect, you know, against Lopez, if Noah can't start, I'd probably have to go to Muhammad, you know, just to hang in there and give a big presence. You know, Nazi had a terrific closing game at 17 points, season high in seven. You know, it's come on quite a bit. So, you know, that's kind of a positive. Obviously, I'd like to have Noah back and playing at his level because that gives Nets a lot of matchup problems because Lopez doesn't like to come out. They're not going to play Reggie Evans on him either, probably pretty much. So, you know, it gives the Bulls some advantage and, you know, the depth with Taj Gibson coming in. But that said, you know, they have a full roster to field for the first time in a while. Hamilton says he's doing fine. Bellinelli has had some decent shooting games lately. Kirk Heinrich looks really good. Shot 7-for-9 and was in there mostly early when the Bulls built up that 21-point lead on the Wizards in the last game. He and Muhammad really dominated early. And Boozer is on a terrific run, averaging about 19-12 for the last a little bit more than a month. You know, and that's the Boozer everyone was talking about. They wanted to see, like, because he's a 20-10 player. Well, he has been for almost 2 months now. So, you know, it gives some positives to the team going in, especially with the health. And you know, if you can build toward that with no setbacks, and so that would be a heck of an interesting series. Seeing some of the former Bulls guys as well. You know, they've got Keith Bogans, who is fortunately Thibodeau is not running the Naismith Hall of Fame, or Bogans would be in there, and also CJ Watson. Bogans is, you know, neither one has really played particularly well against the Bulls, and you know, the Nets they did have the one game they won back in February, where Blotch, Andre Blotch, and Marshawn Brooks actually had, you know, good runs at the in the fourth quarter and kind of put them over the top in that one game they won against a really decimated team. But you know, they rely on their main guys, and you figure PJ Carlissimo, who was interim, you know, after Avery Johnson got fired early in the season, he's going to have to win this first-round series to have a chance to keep his job. And so as a result, he's probably going to go strong, big minutes for Williams and Joe Johnson and Lopez, you know, and see if they could ride them and, you know, hopefully, and from their case, get something from Gerald Wallace, who's had just an awful season, is in some sort of mental meltdown funk where he's talked openly about lack of confidence and the coaching staff doesn't trust him and he doesn't blame him. And so he's kind of a mess, which you probably couldn't be thrilled at if you were the Nets with three more years contract. So that series starts Saturday night, then Monday night in Brooklyn both times, and then back to Chicago for the following Thursday for game three. You know, they stretch out the first round quite a bit and get to 2 weeks. And, you know, I can see this being a seven-game series with all close games, basically. And, you know, a series can go either way. I'll probably pick the Bulls, you know, in seven just to make the point it's going to be a close series. I don't think home court is going to determine that much, although the Nets are doing a blackout. So they're asking all their fans to wear black. And the Bulls are doing the see red thing, like recent playoffs, so everyone's going to wear red. So those are Bulls colors, red and black. So, you know, perhaps that'll be an omen for them. You know, as this goes on next week, we'll be able to talk about it more. Just quickly on the other series, Miami-Milwaukee's been stumbling. That'd probably be four games. I hope the Bucks win a game. And they could. You know, Miami, as good as they are, not a dominant team the way they play small. And you can steal a game from them because they'll lose interest in a game. But you know, that should be a fairly easy series. New York and Boston is really the highlight series in the East. Although I think New York's way better. Boston really blew their opportunity after Rondo got hurt. They should have made some sort of move. You know, they're a team that's gotten old quickly with Garnett and Pierce. And, you know, the romantic notion is they're a tough team. Obviously, there'll be a lot hanging over with the terrorist bombing tragedy in Boston. There'll be a lot of issues with that. But New York probably has too much firepower for them. Indiana, Atlanta, I'm told even the families of the players are not coming to see that series, which should be a really dull one. Atlanta getting wanting Indiana. Indiana probably realizing, you know, now because they dumped those games to get to them, will get them out pretty quickly. I think they're much too physical for them. Atlanta's without Pachulia, is out for the season, so they're a little smaller. And I think Indiana will dominate that series and be able to take that series. Then I thought Houston, which I kind of liked a lot of the season, they finished poorly, losing that last game to the Lakers, losing a couple down the stretch. I just think they're worn out. I think teams are going to be able to load up on Harden. By falling to eighth, I thought they had a shot against San Antonio the way they pushed the ball and their pace of play, and they could speed it up. I don't think they have any shot against Oklahoma City. I think Oklahoma City's going to run all over them and win that one in four or five games. And then there's some really good series out west. I'm really interested to see those series. The Lakers move up to seven and get the Spurs. That's a big break. Obviously, even with Kobe out, you know, you get Dwight Howard's going to be able to get a little more opportunity. Well, actually some, since he got none with Kobe. and Pau Gasol, because he can play outside, you know, can really play an interesting high-low game with Howard. So, you know, they had a good finish, got up to seven. The Spurs are having injury issues, and Tony Parker has had a tough finish. Ginobili's not starting the playoffs. And Tim Duncan is still old, even though he's had this great renaissance season. I think the Spurs have enough to win that series, but I think it's going to be a long series, and I could see the Spurs having to go seven games to win that one. Even if Steve Nash comes back, I think that's a really troublesome matchup for them against Parker with Steve Nash. So, but, you know, the Lakers with dominating the news despite being just barely getting into the playoffs are going to be the story throughout the playoffs. And then, you know, I think you've got sort of the X team in the Denver Nuggets. People don't know what to make of them. Had a great season, finished third, but lost Gallinari. Ty Lawson's come back from his injury, but he's had a plantar fasciitis too, you know, against Golden State. I think they're more than enough for Golden State. It's going to be a really, you know, the notion always in the playoffs is, well, the playoffs are different, slows down. That's not going to be a slow series. Golden State wants to play fast. They don't have Bogut basically all season. He's been out. Who knows if he'll have to play. But Denver's got more size than they do. And really run the court, got depth, even with losing Gallinari, bringing Wilson Chandler, Brewer, even the rookie Fournier played well. If we're pronouncing that right, who knows? And Andre Miller, I've got him among my top three for six men. So I just think they have too much. And with the home court where they've basically been never losing at home, I think they maybe should take that one in five. I like them, they're pretty strong. And then I think the Clippers and Memphis are going to be a great series. Another one that I think could go seven. I just don't think Memphis has enough scoring to stay with them. You know, I haven't liked that the Clippers have sort of gotten caught up, disappointed a little bit in Chris Paul getting up caught in his dunk game. You know, he's looking for the dunks over the basketball plays. But that said, you know, they've got depth. They've got Chauncey Billups back to give him a little bit. They've got guys coming off the bench. Memphis basically, you know, gave up its bench when they made the trades, Rudy Gay and the reserve trades. So they're not going to be able to go as deep. I think the Clippers will push them. Obviously, Memphis, a physical, defensive-oriented team. But the Clippers also have size with Griffin and Jordan. So I like the Clippers in that one. If it goes seven, I think the Clippers could have trouble having to win that last one at home. And I could see that one maybe five or six, say six. But those Western series ought to be really entertaining and really good basketball. Hopefully in the second round, the East will be a little better too. So anyway, check back next week and we'll see if I got any of those right. Of course, on Bulls.com. And what did I say? iTunes? Have I said this on iTunes before? Subscribe to iTunes and you can get this, or whatever that means. So anyway, good to have you with you. Looking forward to these playoffs, and this really is a great time of season. There's nothing like the NBA playoffs. So, talk to you next week.